The Springboks have done it again. For the first time in more than a decade, South Africa's national rugby team has gone on an end-of-year tour and finished unbeaten. I think it's fair to say that it was long overdue. The boys showed grit, determination, resilience as they defeated Scotland, England and Wales, and they did so in comfortable fashion in the end, if we are honest. Coach Russie Rasmus rotated the squad heavily, and our heroes came through and passed the test with flying colours. I think it's fair to say that maybe the wins were not as dominant as maybe we would have liked. You could perhaps say that there was a little bit of a lack of cohesion with all the changes that Russie made. But in the end, all three wins were pretty straightforward, pretty comfortable. And for the first time since 2013, we have finished the year unbeaten on an end-of-year tour. So let's dive deep into this end of year tour in what is going to be the ultimate breakdown of the Springboks end of year tour. Let's start with the pre-tour expectations. If we're honest, Scotland, England and Wales was not necessarily the toughest of assignments. I think any end of year tour in 2024 that excludes Ireland and France, you're looking at that, especially if you're the world champions and you've just won the rugby championship and you're on this winning run, you're saying to yourself, this is a tour in which we can go unbeaten. So that had to be the first target. That was certainly the expectation from the fans, but we all know how Russie likes to do things, always keeping us, not in the dark, but keeping us guessing maybe, always full of surprises. And my personal opinion was, after I saw the squad that Russie selected, was that what would happen is he would pick the best available team for the England match, according to him anyway, what he sees as his best team for England. He would pick a bit of a mix and match team for the Scotland test, and then against Wales, he would give players an opportunity that maybe hadn't been playing a lot this year. And we actually ended up seeing that initially. John Clane was in the side. I know that he withdrew because of injury. Cameron Hunnicombe obviously came on because of, or came off the bench for his Springbok debut. So little things like that. But I think most of us looked at that and thought, Scotland are good, they're much better than what they used to be. England are always good. Sometimes they're very good, sometimes they're excellent, but they're never really bad. But Wales are bad. And that, I think, was a fair expectation from this tour, that we would go there, go to Britain, and win all three of those tests, Murrayfield, Twickenham, and the Millennium Stadium. So let's start by looking at how things went against Scotland. It was a pretty straightforward contest, I thought. My score prediction was actually 30-15, but I think we were a little bit better than that in the end. The Scots didn't score a try against us, and they are a strong side. They've got some very good players. We'll see next year, again in the Six Nations, that they will perform admirably. But further to that, I think we will also see a lot of Scots in the British and Irish Lions squad that goes to Australia next year. But we're talking about the Springboks, and something that was interesting was the bomb squad on this end of year tour. So if we start with Scotland, drives over. We know that Siya Kolisi didn't start that match. Eben Etzebet was our captain for the match, and Quagga Smith started at eighth man, for example. And Quagga, in my opinion, remains the best player in the world coming off the bench. But interestingly, I feel like whenever I've seen him start, he's not quite as effective. So, yeah, sure, he'll start from time to time. It will happen again in the future, I have no doubt. But I think it's fair to say that what we have learned is that in the big games, Quagga is on the bench and he comes on in the second half, and that is when he causes chaos. That is surely the number one strategy.
Mpimpi has found a lot of room on that left side and he's got a second try.
The Springboks went with various combinations. I think Jordan Hendrickse, I think it's fair to say, didn't have his best test match against the Scots. But it's okay. That's why you have someone like Cobus Reinach on the bench at the moment. In years to come, or in even in time gone by, you might have had Grant Williams starting with Faf de Klerk coming on, or the other way around. Things like that, for example. It was nice to see Willie LaRue play his 98th test match. He was man of the match against the Scots at Murrayfield. I won't lie to you, I actually thought that Willie was going to play his 99th at Twickenham and 100th against Wales. And maybe at that point, Russie might have said, okay, Willie, listen, we love you. You've been a great servant to South African rugby. but we're going to move on now. As it turns out, Apelele Fassi took the 15 jersey against England and kept it against Wales, and Vili wasn't even involved. So now there's all kinds of questions about Vili. Will he get to 100? I'm pretty sure. Look, let's be honest. As much as Doc is all about winning and building for the future and all of those things, I do believe that Doc is also very conscious of things like history and legacy. And no doubt he also has sympathy and empathy. And if we look at Vili, his last test match, he was man of the match. So to say that if he plays another two is just keeping an old man around for the sake of helping him get to 100, I feel like that would be very, very disingenuous of us to say that. Even facetious, if I'm honest. Now, the way I see it, we're playing two tests against Italy in the new year. It hasn't actually been confirmed yet, but it looks like almost certainly Italy will be our opponents in July. And then there'll be a third test match, most likely against Georgia. That's how it looks at the moment, but it could even be Spain. But at the moment, it looks like it will be Georgia. Vili, I think, provided he's fit, he doesn't get injured playing for the Bulls in the URC or Champions Cup, Vili will be involved in that squad and he will play 99, 100 and maybe 101. Or it'll be 99 and 100 and not involved in one of the other three, one of those. I think what will happen is, what I would really like to see happen actually, is that Saru and Rassie get together and they manipulate it in such a way. I say manipulate, it's not really manipulation, but they organize it in such a way that either the second test against Italy or that third test, whether it's against Georgia, Spain, whoever, is in Bloemfontein, because remember, that's where Vili started with the Cheetahs. And then what will happen is Vili will run out onto the field, lead the team out, because that's what happens in your 50th and your 100th test matches. Vili will lead the team out on his former home ground, where it all started, and that might be the moment where Damian Willemse is fit again. We've already got Apelele Fassi. And obviously we know that Pollard can go to fullback if required, so can Cheslin. And that might be the time where Rassie says, Vili, we love you, thank you very much for your service, but we're going to move on now. And there might be one or two other Springboks as well who are also on the wrong side of 30 and might be on the wrong side of 35 come Rugby World Cup 2027. And there we say, thank you very much, but we're going to move on now. Anyway, we defeated Scotland comfortably enough, and then it was England at Twickenham, and that was a little bit of a strange one because the English had lost to the Wallabies the week before, and I think it's fair to say that after that happened, we thought, okay, you know what, this is going to be an easy one. Having said that, it was a narrow defeat, and they had also lost to the All Blacks narrowly the week before that, and we also know that on their July tour in New Zealand, they lost to the All Blacks narrowly twice. You could argue, I think, with a lot of validity, that England should have beaten New Zealand at least twice out of those three tests. But they went 0 from 3. Nevertheless, 4 defeats in a row. And my concern going into that test was that England, to my eyes, are not a bad team. They're a good team, good enough that if they get themselves up for it, they can beat the Springboks. Twickenham is a venue that is obviously one where South Africa has done well, but also where England has had their most success against the box. So I was a little bit cautious. I didn't think that we would lose, but I thought, listen, we just need to watch ourselves here. My original score prediction, I think, was 20-15, and then I went 23-15 for the actual test. The final score was 29-20. Happy enough with that for the box. And if we look, Siya Kolisi came back into the team. Jasper Visser came back at eighth man. Interestingly, it was Marnie Lebok that started at fly half. Marnie in 2024 has divided opinion. You know what? I will do a video at a later stage about the Springboks and my report card for the box for 2024. And then I will go into greater depth on Marnie and we'll think of what happened in Santiago del Estero. Nevertheless, Marnie, as we've seen, when it comes to creativity, when it comes to influence, this man is excellent. And there was that beautiful cross kick that led to, I think it was a Cheslin Colby try, if I remember correctly. And you know what? At the end of the day, we're seeing a lot more of that in world rugby, aren't we? It's almost like someone has decided moving the ball down the back line, especially when you are inside the opponent's 22, because that's where it seems to take place more often than not. And I think also because defenders have less space to work with, the ball bounces and goes behind you, it's all over, for example, right? Nevertheless, we are seeing more of that in world rugby right now. It's a fun tactic. I think people like seeing it. It is enjoyable, and especially when it works, it really does look good. So I think we'll continue to see more of that until a defensive system works out how to deal with that very effectively and efficiently, and then we'll start seeing less of it. That is just the nature of how things work. On to Wales, and that was the one where we would end the tour. I thought that Rusty would change everything for that test. Turns out he didn't change everything, although having said that, Oxenchehu got hurt against England. He was eventually replaced at loose head by Thomas du Toit, and then we had Wilco Lowe at tight head, but then remember there was the injury as well to John Klein, who was going to start his first test match of the year. He would have been Springbok number 51 for the Annum. Him going out brought Eoban Etzebeth back into the side. And my only concern, Grobbelaar was the hooker. My only concern was when I looked at the pack, is that, yes, all of them have got test caps, but none of them have ever played together as a pack. And I thought that there might be a lack of cohesion there. And then you factor in the halfback pairing was Jordan and Jaden Hendricks. So I suppose I should say it the other way around. 9 and 10 was Jaden and Jordan. Obviously, they've played hundreds of test matches in their backyard growing up. But this time, it would be at the Millennium Stadium. And I was just a little concerned that from 1 to 10, there wasn't a lot of cohesion, and that might help Wales. And when I say help Wales, I meant it would keep the score to something respectable. I didn't think Wales ever stood a chance of beating us. They were not going to come close. Having said that, the irony is that in the first half, we were excellent. And in the second half, when we started making all our replacements and the bomb squad came on, we actually looked more disjointed then. There is some irony there.
Not when you've got a step like that.
Nevertheless, it has to be said that the Welsh gave it everything they had. They performed admirably. They fought till the end. And honestly, if I was a Wales fan, I would have watched that and I would have thought to myself, I'm disappointed we won, but I cannot fault the boys for effort. It was very clear and obvious that they gave it everything they had. Blair Murray with a beautiful try-saving tackle on Apelele Fassi. Dewey Lake, I don't think I've seen an international hooker do things like that in a defensive effort in many, many years. And then you've also got Jack Morgan, who I think is their only truly world-class player. He had a great game as well. And you know what? All three of those men probably in contention for the Lions tour next year. Although maybe in Murray's case, it might be a little bit difficult when you look at the fullbacks that are doing duty for Ireland, Scotland and England. It might be a little bit difficult for him to force his way in there. But I think Morgan and Lake, I reckon they will be Lions next year. So what is the overall assessment? I think that it is a case of job done. It's a case of job well done, but maybe not job excellently done. We went there, Rusty made a plethora of changes for each of the test matches, and when you factor in the lack of cohesion, the potential disjointedness, and Rusty even spoke about this in his post-match press conference after the Wales test match, when you factor those things in, I think the fact that we went there, won all three test matches, and never ever looked like we were in any danger of losing or things even getting close, then I think you say, well done, Box. We're happy with this. And I think it's very difficult to give a winning team a B if we're going to give them a report card, right? You can't give a team that wins all their matches a B. Maybe the performances might have been a bit of a B, I think. B plus. But I'm going to go one better, and I'm going to give the Springboks an A minus for their efforts on this end of year tour. Yes, there are areas for improvement, but you know what? We are nitpicking. We are nitpicking. Don't forget, just a few years ago, we were losing 57-0 to the All Blacks. Just a few years ago, we would lose to the All Blacks, what, 75% of the time? Now the tables have turned. We've got a winning team. We love our team. They are the pride of the nation, and we want them to be even better. Rusty knows this. Sia knows this. They embrace it, and they want to be better for us as fans. So with that in mind, I don't see what I'm saying as a form of criticism, maybe a form of encouragement even. We want to see our box at their very best. You could see the influence of our attack coach Tony Brown throughout the year, but also on this end of year tour. And I think that what is going to happen is our team is going to become even more dangerous and even more lethal in 2025. And I think it's fair to say that throughout this year, except maybe the Wallabies test in Brisbane, I don't think that we ever truly clicked. We played well, we did everything that needed to be done in order to win, but I don't think that it ever truly clicked. And when it does click, hopefully against the All Blacks next year in New Zealand, it's going to be very, very scary. And I will see you next time.